Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Time to take a look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife. I know we're going to be talking about the Conservation Congress hearings and a whole lot more with Scott Craven. Scott, an emeritus UW Extension wildlife ecologist, great to have him along. And certainly we'll look forward to his responses to your questions as we move along through the show. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Always love to see your wildlife photos, and you can post them up on our Facebook page. Along with your questions at the Larry Mueller Show. And we'll get to Scott in just a minute, but Kate Archer-Kent is in the studio with me.
Yes, hello, Larry.
Hi, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
You've got a big smile on your face.
Well, it's the pledge drive, and that means we're so excited to hear from listeners and get those pledges coming in.
All right. This is your chance to take some action, become a WPR contributor with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Kate, we're doing pretty well.
Yes, very well. That might be an understatement. Last hour, we heard from 47 new and returning members. Dozens of pledges. Great news. Thank you for those pledges. And right now, this is what's exciting, Larry. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,500. And this generous match is from current members, and it means that they'll match every single dollar you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double your support right now for the programs you love at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
People who listen, people like you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs like the Larry Mueller Show that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So I do hope you'll give right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And how do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, you're listening right now during our spring membership drive. You listen to the Larry Mueller Show. I know you love the topics. And whether you tune in for your favorite program, that's one of them, or you find yourself checking in repeatedly throughout the day or the week, you've made a habit of listening.
And now's a good time to make a habit of giving. Listener support is the single largest piece of our budget. Your support brings you the programs and services you've come to rely on. Easy to become a new member. Get started right now with your gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
It's a big year for Wisconsin Public Radio. 2017 marks our 100th anniversary. And this membership drive, you can ask for the latest WPR artist mug, which celebrates that amazing history. This year's mug has artwork by schoolchildren who listened to Let's Draw, a WPR program that taught art in the classroom from 1936 to 1970. This mug is pretty special. It represents WPR's timeless commitment to education, creativity, and innovation. Give $13 a month and show your support for radio you love with this fun new artist mug. Celebrate with us. Ask for your artist mug when you give $13 a month right now.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent, and here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air. So whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, I had someone do that yesterday, donate $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Your pledge right now says, you know what? I value this program. I value the Larry Mueller Show. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. I get answers to my questions. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. Those are powerful feelings. You make a connection and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So join, renew, or make an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, our dollar-for-dollar match is still very much in effect since we have it was $3,500 match, and we have $3,500 left to raise. So please give now. You can double your donation here at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR, it does really go twice as far.
Support the radio you love and ask for the latest WPR artist mug that features drawings by children. It's absolutely adorable. It's yours when you give $13 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do it right now. And right now, as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking with Scott Craven. Scott has, how long have you been doing this show with me, Scott?
I've been on off and on public radio for 35 years.
35,
but I think in terms of being pretty well stabilized with you, it's been
30 at least?
Something like that.
It's got to be 30.
It's been a long time.
We've grown old together.
Well.
There you go. But we're just as smart as we were 30 years ago, I think.
I think so.
Well, what about this Conservation Congress? And by the way, as you listen in, you may want to join with your own question or comment. Maybe you attended Conservation Congress and have a comment on it, or maybe you've got a wildlife sighting, maybe a question about some wildlife that might even be giving you grief. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You know, I think there are probably people who aren't familiar with Conservation Congress. Can you talk about what goes on? It's pretty cool set of meetings.
It's an exercise in the democracy of wildlife management, fisheries management, trapping, and outdoor recreation in general. But it's essentially a citizen Congress that's been around for a long, long time and is advisory to the Natural Resources Board. But the results at this point, it's always the first Monday night in April, so it's kind of old news now in terms of it being in terms of the meeting. Obviously,
yeah.
It took place back on April 10th, but there were the various votes are now coming out and being discussed and digested. And the one, there were a couple that I found interesting as I just reviewed the voting. And one, of course, dealt with the possibility for sandhill crane hunt in Wisconsin. And that's a little contentious. Not nearly as much. I remember being on with you back when mourning dove hunting was proposed, and holy cow, that was sounded like the end of civilization as we knew it, and it proved to not be a big deal at all. But in any event, there was support for a sandhill crane hunt in 52 counties, 52 of 72, but the actual vote was much closer at about 2,300 plus to just about 2,000.
Yeah, so
and of course
close.
there were two counties where there was very little support that carried the day on that side of the vote. Do you have any idea what two counties those might have been, Larry? Well, it's a usual circumstance, much like many elections and voting events in Wisconsin. But Dane County and Milwaukee County were decidedly against the Sandhill Crane hunt, but there were it was general support around most of the rest of the state. That doesn't mean it will happen. It's only the pulse of the people, and it's up to a lot of decision-making before it might. The other vote that I thought was interesting was resounding support for making the wild turkey the state game bird of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess if Ben Franklin had been a little more forceful, it would have been what we see on the backs of most of our coinage. But there seems to be great support for wild turkeys with the great recovery that population's made. And I brought that up more because it was a great segue into talking a little bit about the fact that we're right square in the middle of the spring turkey hunt, which has become a big deal here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that's on now. So that's really about all I think we need to say about the Congress.
Yeah. There's before we go to the phones, there is a deer project I wanted to be sure to mention, because I think folks are looking for volunteers. Talk a little about that.
Well, the one that you're talking about is called the Southwest Wisconsin CWD Deer and Predator Project. And it's a big project, covers a big chunk of Iowa County and some other areas as far as study area. And the project itself was announced back in May of last year as part of the governor's initiative on chronic wasting disease. And, I mean, it's just gratifying to see that, you know, something's still being done about chronic wasting disease because, as you know, it continues to spread
expand.
And increase in incidence. In any event, the basic goal of the project is to study deer survival as it's affected by chronic wasting disease, hunting, and predators. And they're attempting and have already started collaring with radio collars. Deer of all ages, as well as bobcats and coyotes representing the predators. So there'll actually be 4 years of collaring. They've already captured and collared 138 deer, 7 coyotes, and I think the most amazing number is 8 bobcats.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people just in the last 5 or 10 years at most talking about bobcat sightings in the Southwest, and it was viewed initially as an anomaly and an oddity and so forth, and now not only are people seeing them, but they've actually been able to catch 8 of them
in
the
amazing.
Study areas. That's pretty neat. Anyway, getting on to the volunteer issue, their goal is to collar 100 newborn white-tailed deer fawns this spring, and they really need volunteers to help search for them. So the volunteers are needed on weekends and weekdays, essentially any day of the week, from May 20th to June 3rd. And, you know, searching for a fawn is kind of like a well-organized military maneuver, a hike in the woods, but with directions. And the fawns just kind of sit tight and rely on their cryptic spotted coloration, so they're not that... once you develop the search image, not easy to see, but people get better at it. And volunteers can participate for a morning, for an afternoon, or all day if they wish. The groups will convene in Dodgeville and fan out from there. And there are 3 ways for folks to sign up. There's a phone number, which is 608-935-1940, 935-1940. And I can give this sheet to...
Lexi Broad is our on-air producer today, and she's writing down the number. What is it? 608-935-1940. 1940. We'll put that up on our Facebook page.
And then they can also go to DNRDeerResearch@wisconsin.gov.
DNR Deer Research.
Yep, all one phrase, @wisconsin.gov. And there's a web-based sign-up link, which I think it's fairly lengthy, so I think they can get to that through the wisconsin.gov. But I'm guessing if they just go to the Wisconsin DNR website and do a little clicking on search, they'll come up with all this. So, hey, it's a neat way to get out in the woods. You might find a bag of morels. Who knows?
Yeah,
they're
who
coming
knows?
Up now. But more importantly, you might find a fawn for the project. So in the long run, this is a good deal, and people can have some fun.
Yeah. Well, Phil in Peterson, Minnesota is up with a question or a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Phil. Thank you for calling.
Morning, guys. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Great day to be in the woods today.
Yeah.
I've got a question. It's kind of an odd one. We had a brown bat that started attaching itself to a cedar post in front of our house about a week ago. And he stayed in the exact same position for about 4 days, and he was there all day long. And after about 4 days, he moved just a little bit to the left, and there was very little movement. But finally, after a week, he's gone. And I was wondering what the behavior was that would cause him to either he had a long vacation and needed a long rest. I don't know.
Well, they tend to cover considerable distances between their winter hibernacula, where they spend the winter, cave, mine shaft, old building, whatever, and then to where they're going to normally or where they do normally roost in the summer and spend the summer. So that individual, we had some very early, very warm weather, which has kind of messed everything up. I mean, the green up has been very quick. My fruit trees are in full bloom, but it freezes every other night. So things are just a little iffy right now. But it looks like the weather's going to improve, get warmer, and stabilize. And so the bats, along with a lot of birds that are coming in now, will be much more active. But all I can do is speculate, but I'm guessing that bat probably left a hibernation site. Obviously, at that point, choice to go back was not a viable option for it. It found a spot to hang up and stay out of harm's way, and as soon as conditions became a little more moderate, it's off and running again. Now, whether it just moved up into your attic for the summer or whether it's moved another 20 or 50 or 100 miles or more, I don't think we'll ever know. But we can assume that it's probably okay,
yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, very, very cool sighting, Phil. Thanks so much for calling. Scott Craven, our guest wildlife ecologist here at the University of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Lexi Broad, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife today with our guest, Scott Craven, wildlife ecologist, emeritus professor in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology. So it's great to have him with us, and great to have Kate Archer-Kent stop back. We're in our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. You count on WPR for great discussions, and it's your gift. Any amount that makes these discussions possible, so I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Kate, we have some inducement.
We do. You know, Larry, we have this dollar for dollar match. It's up to $3,500 in effect right now. And lo and behold, a lion's share of the match is still available. So we don't want to leave a penny of match money on the table. Right now is a great time to pledge because current members will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is turning 100 this year. And you know what? We couldn't be more proud of our history. And we're just as excited, I think, about our next 100 years. And we pledge to deepen our commitment to providing great and equal access to news, information, and entertainment that creates opportunities for everybody.
And we're going beyond broadcast through new technologies and community projects, community events all over the state to better serve and connect the people of Wisconsin. We have some big goals, and your support makes it all possible. It's an exciting time to be part of WPR. I can feel the energy. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Once you set up a comfortable monthly amount from your bank or your credit card, your support goes right to work toward the programming you appreciate.
And because your sustaining donation automatically renews each year, your support will always be current, and you don't have to wonder if it's your time of year to give when you hear a pledge drive. Become a sustainer right now with a gift of $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won. Art, that was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB. That hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We got an old salad mixer that I got at one of those things, and I think I used it one time.
Very questionable, Larry. Does it shoot the salad out?
It does. Well, I don't know because
the salad shooter.
I haven't used it in so long. What I do know is that I pledged to WPR, and that's I feel a lot better about that than that salad shooter. I can tell you that for free. You can pledge too. Become a WPR member here. Pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer-Kent asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. Maybe your gift's $10 a month. Maybe it's $20. dollars a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is so easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time to make your contribution, and then you'll get back so much in return. So make your 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or $1,200 a year or more.
And that comes down to less than $4 a day and makes the talk, the news, the music, and entertainment that you count on from WPR possible. Your 9XM leadership gift makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible today and for future generations. So give as generously as you can at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. And there are costs associated with high-quality radio. That is where you come in.
That is indeed where you come in. So, and if I could find my own thoughts and get my thoughts together here, it would be a whole lot better here. I just want you to support the radio you love. And you can ask for that artist mug. What is that,
mug.
$13 a month, isn't it?
It is. And we have this dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. We have several $1,000s here to raise. It is on the table, so make this match happen. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Support the radio you love and ask for the latest WPR artist mug. Again, we talked about that. It features drawings by children. It's yours when you do give $13 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Support your WPR listening. Contribute right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Yeah, thanks if you've already contributed. I really, really appreciate it. If you haven't, now's a good time to do it. Well, we hear from Scott Craven, our wildlife ecologist. Scott, an emeritus UW Extension wildlife ecologist, as a matter of fact. You can join in a question or comment for him. I hope you will. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. Steve from Mineral Point called to ask where cliff swallows can live if they find themselves in a habitat where there are no cliffs.
They tend to excavate in these
areas
and whatnot. So I think that they're, in that regard, okay in terms of cut banks and, you know, road construction sites, railroad trestles, or a variety of other things that might allow them to get in there. Most birds, whether it's barn swallows returning to a barn or tree swallows competing for bluebird boxes or whatever else, know where they're going and have a pretty good idea of their navigation. So running out of habitat is not usually the problem unless something's been destroyed.
Yeah. You know, I do my little run every morning, and this morning it was sunny and bright about 6 in the morning, and the birds were singing, and I hadn't heard that in a few days of this cold, kind of nasty weather we've had. What are you seeing in your yard right now?
I think everybody was singing this morning after eight of the most wretched days I can remember. I mean, it was bone-chilling cold, and it was wet. The lakes are at high levels, unprecedented high levels. My garden is just a mud hole. I should have planted rice. But the birds were very happy this morning. There was a lot of activity around my feeders. I guess counting the suet feeders now, I've got 9 feeders out, and it's just about a daily job to try and keep those filled. But in the last few days, let's see, 3 days ago, the rose-breasted grosbeaks came back. I'm always happy to see them, one of my favorite birds at the feeder. Yesterday, we saw the first oriole.
Oh, yesterday.
So, yeah, and he just made a cameo appearance and vanished because we rushed out and filled everything with grape jelly, and he was nowhere to be seen. We've got lots of finches this year because of the gloomy weather, perhaps. I mean, the male goldfinches just seem to be electric yellow, so they're kind of neat. Woodpeckers, we've got a pair of red-bellied woodpeckers that are there almost all the time. That's another beautiful bird.
They're fun to see.
Not especially abundant, but if you get a pair, you should be pretty happy with that. And the usual cardinals and house finches and chickadees and a whole variety of sparrows, but with this stable, warm weather coming in now, as soon as that storm that's south of us gets out of the way, we should have a lot of migrant birds back in. And I think, I recall, Migratory Bird Day is coming up, I think, on the 13th, as I recall, of May. And, that's an opportunity for people to celebrate the return of all these birds and attend events in our designated bird cities around the state. There'll be all sorts of things going on, and at wildlife refuges and nature centers. And there's an opportunity to contribute to bird conservation in many ways, both through Migratory Bird Day activities, but then also the fact that the Great Wisconsin Birdathon is on. So there are opportunities to get involved as part of a team or as an individual to actually go out and participate in the Birdathon, but also to sponsor teams or individuals as they find birds, just the way funds are raised for many other things. So
that's a lot of fun.
It's a great time of the year to be a bird watcher, and it's a great time of the year to be a bird.
Well, tomorrow is May 4th, and that's the day that the Baltimore Oriole usually shows up at my feeder. So I've got to... I don't even bother to put out the jelly until May 3rd, because they don't come until May 4th.
Yeah, I find that there are the finches, the house finches in particular, also use the jelly. And yesterday I was surprised to see the red-bellied woodpecker over there helping himself. So there are some other benefits from having it out. The blessing is that you can usually find a 2-pound jar of grape jelly for
pretty darn cheap,
a buck or a little more on sale, and that'll keep the Orioles happy for quite a while.
Bill in Edgerton has something for us. Bill, hi, thank you for calling.
It's duck hunting one day, and I wanted to ask your conservation guy if you'd ever heard of anything like this happen. But I was sitting in a duck blind, and I seen a hen wood duck coming towards my depot. And I pulled up, and I was just ready to squeeze the trigger, and all of a sudden the wood duck flipped completely upside down and glided past me, like over 40 yards, completely upside down. And when it got right in front of me, it turned its head right side up, but its body was still upside down. And then like 2 seconds later, it flipped its body right side up, dropped its landing gear, and splashed down the decoy. I just go, wow, I don't believe what I just seen.
Bill, you should have dropped your gun and picked up your phone and got the movie of that.
Did you shoot?
No, I didn't.
It worked.
It was the coolest thing I ever seen, so I thought you'd get a free pass.
That's...
I watched her blow around the decoys, and put in time, I went out to pick up the decoys, and she got up.
They're pretty acrobatic, and especially a wood duck that has to navigate in the trees that are often part of their habitat and actually gather up and get right into a hole in the tree. The fact that they can flip and turn like that, why it made that maneuver and glided for so long, I've never seen that. I had an odd experience with a pair of wood ducks a couple of days ago as I was leaving the cabin in Price County and driving down Highway 70, and all of a sudden there was a hen wood duck about 4 inches in front of the grill of my truck. And then the drake showed up about an equal distance from the windshield. They'd been in a little ditch next to the road and flushed. And that was very close to road-killed wood duck, which doesn't happen very often either.
No.
Anyway, I can't explain why that bird flipped like that at the time, whether it felt it needed to maneuver to get into the decoys where it wanted to. But, hey, it saved its life.
That's a pretty cool sighting, Bill.
Story.
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate that call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You know, you're talking about putting all more bird seed out there. Some people say, this time of the year, maybe we ought to quit feeding birds for one reason or another. I feed them through the summer. I don't know.
I think a lot of people just continue feeding, may slow down a little bit when they're off on, obviously, when they're off on vacation and whatnot. And the birds can certainly take care of themselves during the summer. But the greatest concern is disease problems around the feeders that are facilitated by warmer weather. And the fact that, well, you know, the birds have got plenty of natural food at this point. On the other hand, this time of year when all the birds are moving through, it's a great time to continue. There's not much out there on the landscape yet, and it's a great time to see lots of bird activity at the feeder, as I mentioned earlier. And I kind of enjoy, I mentioned the rose-breasted grosbeaks. What we really like about the grosbeaks is as soon as their young have hatched, they bring them to the feeders. And we get a chance to see the whole family activity. Yeah. We do the same thing with a number of other species. So I make a bit of an effort to keep the feeders clean and take them down every once in a while and, you know, ream them out and clean them in soapy water and then usually a little bit of diluted bleach solution and clean them, put them, let them air dry, put them back up, and that minimizes the problem with disease spread, and keeping the mess underneath the feeders cleaned up a bit also helps. So
I think
if you
good.
Take proper precautions, you can feed all year if you're so inclined. Some people stop feeding just because it can be quite a drain on the budget. I don't know how many 50-pound bags of sunflower seed I've gone through this winter, and I probably don't want to know, but at least for now, it's well worth it.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got indoor cats. I never let my cats outside, and they actually enjoy watching the birds at the feeder. So
everything from the grandkids to us to the cats, it's a great pastime.
It absolutely is. Well, Scott Craven, our guest today, UW Emeritus Professor of Wildlife Ecology. He's also, of course, with UW Extension. He's been that way for a long, long time. You know, when I think of birds and birding here at Wisconsin Public Radio, I immediately think of Kate Archer Kent, who is a premier.
I'm trying to
birder.
Figure out the association here, Larry. I'm not sure.
She can name any bird that you hear that song, and she names it. And she's really good at talking too, and that's why she's back here, because we're in our spring membership drive. I might ask her to whistle out the song of, I don't know. We'll think of one for her. In the meantime, we better talk about our goal. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like the world of wildlife with Scott Craven. Your support makes that happen, so give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We still have that dollar-for-dollar match going.
And that's so exciting because I'm just watching the numbers tick up as you talk, Larry. You know, this is a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members. We have about $700 and change still hanging in the balance on this match. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and you get the picture. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love this time of the day. From 11 to 12:30 every weekday, we take a break from the news and from politics. We focus on advice topics. We talk about the outdoors, surely every Wednesday. Interesting things going on at the university and in the state. We talk health issues and finances. Today, of course, Scott Craven, who's been doing this with me for about 30 years now. And we're having a lot of fun. And I think as you listen, I hope you're having fun listening.
And learning things. And there is really a not-so-secret ingredient to this winning recipe. And that's listener support, a community of listeners, your support. You make the program possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think it's easy to come up with reasons to give to WPR. We have unbiased news. We have exceptional classical music. We have entertaining programs. And if you haven't donated yet, you might be thinking, well, maybe you can't give enough to make a difference, or you think somebody else will give. Maybe you've been meeting to contribute and just kept putting it off. Well, that's not a good idea.
Not a good idea at all. Don't wait to give. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Your membership makes a difference. Your support absolutely matters. Start with a gift of, say, $5 or $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make your pledge during our spring membership drive. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer-Kent asking for your support of WPR. And your gift, maybe it's $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part, but you enjoy listening to WPR year after year. You listen to The Larry Mueller Show. Your continued support is what keeps us going.
If it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to give again. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Glad to have you back, for sure.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. I'm watching the leaderboard here. We have about $600 and change left to raise. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Mm-hmm. Support the radio you love and ask for the latest WPR artist mug that features drawings by children. It's yours when you give $13 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've heard from Angela from Crystal Lake, Illinois, who is a fan of The Larry Mueller Show. She says, I'm giving today because of your show, Larry. So that's nice to hear from Angela. Also nice to hear from Eric from DeForest, who says WPR programs help sustain me during this time. So thank you.
Thanks so much. If you've already given, thank you very much. If you haven't given, this is the great time to do it. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Scott Craven, our guest, and always great to have Scott come by. And we have callers online. You can join in, too, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. Let's hear from Martin next. Martin, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
From Rhinelander. I love Rhinelander.
Yeah. It's beautiful today. First of all, enjoy your show, and happy birthday to the radio station.
Thank you.
I have a question on the Morales that you mentioned a while back.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent the last 16 years in the UP, and this time of year, I would have already gotten my supply of Morales due to the weather. I haven't found a single one. And I know it's been cold, and with the snow and all the rain, from your guest experience, is it running late for Morales?
Yeah, up in your area, they're probably running late.
They're probably late up there. When I was up on Friday, there were 3 inches of snow around.
Okay.
So that will slow things down considerably, and Greenup was much retarded as I approached north of Wausau compared to what we have here. I mean, we're almost at full green up. Everything's in bloom. The tree leaves are out. My chestnut tree's about to bloom. It's really almost getting thick for the turkey hunting, and that's pretty unusual. But that was because of the warm weather we had earlier. The first word...
So I can plan on, while I'm watching the weather, maybe at the minimum next week?
It's going to be pretty nice the next week. I would think another week. The first report I got of them around here was from a friend who's an outdoor writer and always sends me a picture of the first one he cuts. It was 8 or 10 days ago. And then the next day it was a picture of 65 that he picked under one tree.
Oh.
And then a couple days later, I think it was 68 under another tree. And they were nice-looking morels. Now, other people are saying they're coming a little slow. Both those trees are on south-facing slopes. So I'm thinking let me put it this way. The leaves on my oak trees right now are the size of a mouse's ear. So it's time to go cut morels. That's one thing you hear from people. But generally, between Mother's Day and Memorial Day, are kind of the highlights, and it's a little early where we are, I think, and it's a little late where you are, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
That's what I just wanted to confirm that from my experience. I was thinking it was running a little too cold and too wet.
Yeah. Did you have some additional question regarding a permit?
NEUP, if I burn wood, I can go out and cut down or pick up deadfall, dying, standing dead. But I have to go to the DNR office and pick up a permit. Do I need to do that in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure I understand the nature of the question. If you're on your own land, it's one thing. If you're on public land, it's another.
If
you're on public land, then you probably, you even need a permit in northern Wisconsin. It's a $2 permit to cut a Christmas tree. So I think anything else you may be picking up probably requires some sort of permission, although it may be free, it may not. I thought when I saw the question, it related to cutting or harvesting the mushrooms, which is not an issue. What you need is permission from the landowner, but cutting the mushrooms is not an issue. So,
but you will need a permit, I'm pretty sure you're going to need a permit. You should just call your DNR, local DNR office. You've got a regional office there in that area, so give them a call, but I'm pretty sure you're going to need a permit. Thanks for calling, by the way. Let's go to Tony in Green Bay next.
Yes, I'm very interested to hear this question.
Tony, hi.
Hi. We've got this old crabapple tree in our backyard, and the tree's got a hole in it, in which a squirrel frequently ducks in and out of and will stay in there for quite a while. We've even had sparrows living in there, and the squirrel and the sparrows seem to share the same hole. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, the squirrel was out on the tree, and all of a sudden this crow flew in and kind of looked like it was going to attack the squirrel, and the squirrel headbutted it. And the crow flew off a little ways and then came back again, and the squirrel headbutted it again. And then the squirrel flew up to a tree in our neighbor's backyard and where it could kind of keep an eye on our tree. And the squirrel went to a branch and just flattened itself, almost disappeared, and was watching that crow. And then later on, the crow came back and with the same result. The squirrel headbutted it, and the crow took off again. Now, we have never seen anything like this before. You know what's going on?
Here's another one, Tony. You should have been getting a film of this. It would have been a lot of fun to see.
No, in terms of an adult squirrel and a crow, crows are lousy predators. They're more of scavengers. So the crow was probably not interested in the adult squirrel as a potential meal, nor was the squirrel particularly interested in the crow, although a squirrel, given the opportunity, might take a crow's egg or even a nestling crow if they found one. But so I don't think this was a matter of necessarily predation or animosity on either part, since the nest hole was there. And squirrels, if this was a few weeks ago, a little late for the first litter, but who knows how things were going. The squirrel may have very well had young in that hole, and the crow knew it, and the crow's interest was in getting to the hole, and the squirrel knew that, and they may have had prior experience here, but I'm really think the only logical explanation I can come up with that explains both the persistence of the crow and the squirrel's interested in driving it away is that the crow knew there was something tasty something in the hole and was after it. And the squirrel didn't want to see that happen.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Thanks a lot for calling, Tony. Appreciate your call. Very interesting. Sarah posted a picture on Facebook of a robin nest that's lodged in on the outside of her house, and she wonders if there's anything she can do to move the robin's nest and eggs without hurting them. That would be an impossible task, maybe.
Well, that's pretty tricky. This time of year, of course, that's where was that? Do we know, Larry? That's pretty.
I don't know where that was.
Well, robins have been lugging nesting material around for several weeks now, so not a big surprise. They commonly place their nests in a hanging planter, on a light fixture by the front door, on a variety of spots where the people would rather not have them. The only preventative measure is to either be vigilant when they're trying to build the nest and discourage that or scare them away, or take some steps on perennially used spots, like over a light fixture next to the door, and put a little sheet metal or screen barrier over there so the robins can't get to the site. Otherwise, this is a chronic problem. Once the nest is built and the eggs are in there, the nest and the eggs are just as protected by law as are the robins.
Yeah.
So if you throw, I'm just going to knock this nest down or smash the eggs or whatever, that'll discourage them. Well, it may discourage them, but it's also illegal.
It's illegal.
And the idea of, well, I'll pick up the nest and I'll sit it down here in this nice bush, pretty iffy situation as far as success and just not advisable. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, if the eggs are in there, the incubation, who knows when they started incubating, but those eggs could hatch pretty quickly. The fledgling period is, again, just a few weeks, and I think the best thing to do, grin and bear it, watch the progression of hatch and development of the young, and as soon as they've fledged and left the nest, clean it out and cover it so there's not a second brood back there later on.
Yeah, you could put up some hardware cloth or something.
Hardware cloth or a sheet metal cone or some plastic, whatever, just something so the birds can't get a toehold there to build that nest.
Marilyn from Beaver Dam emailed to say that on Sunday she saw a vixen carrying four kits, one at a time, from her woodlot to her new nest in a stack of round bales across a field. So on the vixen's last trip, she was in the woodlot for a much longer time and came back without any little ones. Any thoughts on what she was doing on that last trip? Maybe she was trying to remember if she had one more to get. Or
yeah, it might have been taken. How many was it now? Three, four? I can't remember. No way to know that. I mean, it could have gotten into the woodlot and been frightened by something else, or and had to take evasive action or hide for a bit. It may have gone back to just essentially, like humans might, double check. Hey, did I leave anything behind here? Or, you know,
there was one more and she was trying to find it.
That's possible, too. So a lot of possible explanations, but the fact that the pups have been born at this point, that's normal. And the fact that they move the den site periodically for security reasons is also a regular event and neat thing to be able to see. But I'm guessing she found all she had. And why she went back, who knows?
Oh, man. Well, I've got two rabbits in my back lawn right now. And
that means you'll have 22 in a few weeks and 42 in a month.
There's not much you can do to keep them out. I mean, other short of a fence.
Well, no, the fence is really the foolproof thing. But, boy, you better make sure the mesh size is small enough, because the young ones can go through what seems like incredibly small mesh like it isn't even there. But the thing with rabbits, as people are getting their gardens in, and it's already getting late for this, but, you know, rabbit, the breeding potential, they breed like rabbits, for crying out loud. So one doe rabbit you see around in early spring could account for another 25 or 30 rabbits by September, October. So if you really have some things you want to protect, the time to be removing rabbits is now and in the last month.
Multiplying rabbits. That's something that you don't normally want to see. When I think about multiplying our dollars, though, I think about the spring membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Kate's back. Kate Archer Kent.
We'll take multiplying pledges any day.
Yeah, we sure will. And I hope you'll invest a few minutes right now to support the programs you rely on, like this one. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And speaking of multiplication here, here's a celebration update. We have made our match, Larry. Unlike anything, we still have about four more pledges left this hour to stay on track. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you've been enjoying the conversation today about our wildlife. We've had some great calls about nests and birds. I think it's an example of the interesting and important conversations we have on this show.
Now take a few minutes of your time to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do you know the secret handshake to get into the 9XM Leadership Circle meetings?
I do not, but I know there is one.
There is one. I have it down pat. I can show anybody who becomes a member. You can do that during our spring membership drive. You can join the 9XM Leadership Circle with your gift of $100 or $200 a month for the programming that's essential to your life.
You will make a difference in your own life and enhance the quality of life for so many others throughout our state. Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years of broadcasting. And even though some of your favorite shows weren't around in 1917, what if they were?
This is Jim Fleming. Chapter a Day looks to the bestseller lists, celebrating well-known authors like H.G. Wells and Zane Grey, in addition to classics from the Sherlock Holmes canon and more. Join us for Chapter a Day each weekday.
Okay, so maybe Chapter a Day wasn't around in 1917, but we've been through a lot in our first 100 years, and it's all thanks to listeners like you. Here's to the next century of broadcasting. Help build our future now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's the way to do it. You just go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your pledge in support of Wisconsin Public Radio programs. You can join Sally from Fond du Lac. She says, "We love WPR. Keep up the good work." And that's great to hear, isn't it?
It is. It's very positive. And listeners like Sally, that's really what makes WPR go around. So make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Larry, we've made our match, and we still have about four more pledges left to go this hour to stay on track, because like everyone, we like goals.
Yeah, we do have goals, and we had a goal of 30 and we're at 26 right now, so we could use four more. If you could be one of those four if you called right now. You call 888-202-2552. Or you could go online to WPR.org. And what do they do? There's a button or something they push to say donate, or what is it? How it works?
Exactly. It's right there on the top of the page. You can't miss it. Support the radio you love and ask for the latest WPR artist mug that features drawings by children. It's truly adorable. And it would make a really great gift to a teacher, by the way. It's yours when you give $13 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a listener from Ironwood says, "I love the in-depth account of issues. We spend a lot of time on that in this show and other shows." What about you? Do you enjoy listening to Scott Craven? He comes by every couple of months. If you do, be a great time to put a vote in for Craven. Craven, do it right now. Here's the number to call. It's a great idea. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network, taking a look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife with Scott Craven. Scott, an emeritus professor in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology and with UW Extension. Open lines will get you on pretty quickly. If you've got an experience to share, a question to ask, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. You can email us as well at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Chris from Stoddard is happy to report that whippoorwills have returned from their two-year sabbatical. They arrived last week along with white-throated sparrows, grosbeaks, yellow-rumped warblers, and flickers. Well, that's a nice flock of...
I've seen most of those except the whippoorwill, and I mean, whippoorwills are really neat. They've become a lot more scarce than they used to be around, but they're neat until they happen to set up shop about on a limb about 8 feet from your bedroom window in the countryside. Then they get your attention. They're very loud.
Jim wondered about Wisconsin's Green Fire, Voices for Conservation. Are you familiar with that organization, Scott? Could you comment on it?
Well, it's, you know, Stan Temple's involved in that in terms of his work with the Leopold Foundation, and I think he'd be a much better person to ask about it. I know he's been traveling around doing some things with Green Fire recently, and that's about all I'd say about it in deference to Stan.
Okay. We have... let's see, Dennis posted a picture of a little bear cub in his tree near Cornucopia. And, you know, that's a pretty cool, pretty cool sight.
Bear cubs are, well, all little animals, all baby animals are particularly cute, but bear cubs especially so. But that's also a good opportunity to warn people a little bit that bears are out and about, and obviously the cubs are as well. And the bears that have been hibernating all winter are tired of hibernating. They've lost a lot of weight. They're hungry, irritable after a long sleep, and one should be particularly cautious and take precautions around your home or cabin with your bird feeders. They can be incredibly acrobatic and agile in terms of getting at a bird feeder, and generally bird feeders, beyond being emptied, don't survive structurally very well from bear use. So if you've got bears around, it's probably best that we talked earlier about ceasing and desisting on bird feeding during the warm season. I can think of no better reason than to avoid bear problems. In addition, be careful with pet food. You know, if you've been getting used to feeding the dog on the back porch or on the deck, don't do that anymore. Don't try and store the food outside where it's accessible. A few years ago when I was working up at Kemp Station, as you know, Larry, had a bear come on the front porch, pick up in its jaws a 50-pound bag of corn and backed out the door and made off with it. So be careful how that kind of thing is stored, and also manage your trash. And that'll minimize any unpleasant experiences with bears.
And watch it when you're camping, too. I can remember one trip. I was with Jerry Carbon. We were camping, tenting on Black Lake in northern Wisconsin, and woke up in the night to some noise. And we had gotten there late, put the tent up, and went to bed. But we left the igloo ice cooler out on the... And I looked out, and here's this very large bear, and it's seated. And it's got its paws, front paws, over the top of the igloo ice cooler, and it's chomping down along the edge. Fortunately, it was chopping on the edge that had the hinges, so it couldn't get it open. So finally it got sick of it and then walked over to the tent, and Jerry was standing up and the bear stood up, and the bear was eye to eye with Jerry. At that point, I got my knife out because I was going to make a new door in the back of the tent.
People can be surprisingly fast under those conditions. But that's another point. Beyond just your dog food or your bird food or whatever, don't get between, especially a cute little cub like that, getting pictures. You better be cognizant of where mom is at the time and be cautious with that kind of thing.
Let's go to Jason in La Crosse. Jason, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. So last Saturday, I was up skydiving at Skydive Wissota in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and after I deployed my chute and got under canopy, a red-tail hawk showed up right in front of me, and I kind of hung out with him for a few minutes. It was about 2,500 feet off the ground, and he just had no care in the world that I was right there by him. He's probably 20 feet away from me.
Oh, man.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. What you got to see is what you see in these films and all that are developed about bird flight and the Operation Migration, taking the crane south with ultralights and whatnot. You got to see that for free and by accident. That's pretty neat.
That is really cool. And, of course, you wouldn't have had your camera out for that.
No, I usually always jump with a camera because I film a lot of my students up there and stuff. I just didn't have my camera on that time. It's the second time I've been caught without a camera by a hawk.
Oh, man. Well, thanks, Jason, for calling. That is really cool. That's an advertisement for doing some jumping, skydiving, for sure.
That would be enough to get me to jump out of a plane. No,
you and I will do it together with our cameras, see what we can come up with. Jason, thanks a lot for calling. Oh, man. Louise from Chippewa Falls, I think, up next. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, it's actually Lois.
Lois, sorry.
But anyway, I just observed a little bunny rabbit going into a hole into a shed we have. It's a big wooden shed. And I'm wondering how to know when to seal it. Otherwise, I don't want to seal it with the rabbit in there. So how do I know when to do that?
Well, I think the easiest thing you can do is if the hole is, the hole's kind of discreet, it's actually a hole rather than a big open area or something.
It's a hole chewed into the woods.
I think the easiest thing to do is construct a little one-way door, usually out of a piece of hardware cloth. So let's say the hole's as big as a baseball for the sake of argument.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You cut a square of hardware cloth, and you could even double it up if you wanted it to be a little more secure. That's maybe 6 or 8 inches square, much bigger than the hole. So it overlaps mm-hmm. the hole. Then you just attach that at the top only with a couple of loose nails or screws or whatever so that it swings. So it covers the hole. So any rabbit approaching from the outside can't push it in because it's bigger than the hole. But a rabbit that needs to get out simply needs to push against it and then squirm its way out. And that will allow anything that's in there to get out, but nothing else to get in. And I think if you use that for... Well, you could technically use it indefinitely until you're sure there's nothing in there. But I think in good weather, if you used it for a week or so, anything inside would have needed to get out for water, food, or whatever. And at that point, I think you could be fairly safe in taking off the one-way door or just finishing the attachment and come next winter or whatever, go ahead and put a new board on or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, there you go.
There are other things like mothballs and whatnot, the scent of which will encourage them to leave. But without the one-way door issue, you're never really sure unless you sprinkle a little flour or talcum powder in dry weather around the hole so that you can see from the tracks that animals have left rather than coming back in.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks so much for calling, Lois. Appreciate your call. Bill in Pewaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. No, it's afternoon.
Good afternoon.
A couple of years ago, we discovered some flying squirrels at our house, and it's been really fun to, and we've been feeding them at night. We feed them some peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how prevalent they are. I didn't think that flying squirrels were around in Waukesha County.
They're surprisingly common.
Yeah.
We have two species in Wisconsin, northern flying squirrel and southern flying squirrel. What you have is undoubtedly the southern northerns have become hard to find and are kind of up in the north woods. If you can see them pretty closely as they're on a maybe attached to a screen or coming into the feeder, you can tell them apart by the coloration of the belly fur. But anyway, they are cute little things. They're surprisingly common, but uncommonly seen just because they're strictly nocturnal.
Yeah.
You almost never see one out during the day unless its den tree's been knocked over in a storm or you're cutting firewood and happen to break up a den tree or something like that, or they're actually living in your attic. I would make sure they're cute, but try and make sure that they're not occupying your soffits or attic or crawl space or wall voids or whatever else. that they're out in a tree where they belong, because they're still squirrels, they still gnaw and chew, and if they're inside the house in any way, then they could be a problem for insulation and electrical wiring and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But are you using a spotlight? Have you got them used to a light yet so you can flip a light on and see them?
Yeah, we can turn the light on, and they're there.
Yep. Well, they're
very cool.
They're incredibly soft. They have great big eyes. They're just a really cute little animal and popular when people get to see them. But, boy, I'd be surprised if there was any stand of trees of even a half acre in size that doesn't have flying squirrels in it.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks so much, Bill, for calling. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to James in Oakfield next. Hi, James. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I have a blue spruce in my backyard.
Yeah.
And this year, the cones on it, the tree is just completely covered in cones starting to develop now.
Okay.
And about the top two-thirds of the tree, the cones are actually red. And the bottom one-third is just as green as could be. And I have never noticed that before. And I was wondering, is that normal, or is there something going on?
Boy, that is a good question that I don't have an answer for.
Well, as far as the number of cones, like oak trees with acorns or all trees, you have good cone years because the previous year's conditions or spring conditions or whatever, but... I'm just wondering if they're different color. I mean, the ones at the top are opening faster, maturing faster because they are higher up or warmer, more sun or something, and the ones on the bottom are coming along a little more slowly. But
dendrologies, are they red? How come they're red?
What kind of red? Are we talking about Wisconsin badger
red?
They
are red. I mean, they are red. I was astounded when I took a look and when I saw that. Mm-hmm. And I looked again today, and they are, you know, I mean, it's like a burgundy. It's more of a burgundy red than it is a bright red.
All right, burgundy red. That,
you know, there are some conifer cones that as they are young and before they get woody and dry, they do have a reddish tint to them.
Yeah,
they
do.
Even a little tamarack cone is kind of a maroon color, but... beyond that, unless it's some sort of fungus or mold or, you know, potential disease issue, I don't know what it could be. That's something to talk to your local arborist about or somebody at a garden center.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks so much for calling, James. Appreciate your call. And we have Kathy in Hazel Green. Can we go to Kathy? Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just had a little bit of a cautionary comment to Lois about the bunny under her shed. This is kind of the time of year when there's a lot of baby bunnies, and if you do that one-way door, the mama bunny who always leaves the nest to go out to feed is not going to be able to get back in to her babies.
Yeah,
well, that's true, but I think she said it was a small one, so it could have been part of a litter, but in addition, I think if she leaves that door on long enough, that problem will be rectified.
Yeah, I think they typically wouldn't be nesting in a building anyway. I don't. They
well, you
they
never
might.
Know. They usually don't. They usually just have a little scrape out in the lawn or whatever. But they're in there now, so who knows? But
thank you for calling, Kathy. Appreciate your call. It's something to think about and you know,
well, you
look around in the building.
You always have to be careful whether you're trying to exclude squirrels from your attic or something from the chimney or a possum from under the deck or whatever else, that the last thing you want to do is trap anything inside.
Yeah.
A, it's inhumane, and B, it's it can make even a worse problem than you thought you had before. So.
I've got a problem like that. I usually call Kate Archer Kent because she knows her business when it comes to trapping animals and getting them out of your house or out from underneath your house.
We're just trapping pledges right now, Larry.
We're
That's all
pledges.
We're trapping.
All right, well, Scott Graven, our guest today. And Kate Archer Kent, who is an extraordinary wildlife specialist as well. But she's good at trapping dollars, and that's why she's here today, as she said. Your gift right now is so important. It keeps the Larry Mueller Show going strong, among other shows. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening with a gift right now at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
Larry, last hour we heard from 30 members, and that's so fabulous. And thank you to everyone who pledged. Our goal right now, because we always stay on track with goals, right now it is to get 10 pledges.
We are celebrating our first 100 years here at WPR. Great time to support the station you love. You can help us meet our goal and start the next 100 years out strong with your centennial gift, let's call it, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've been enjoying the conversation about wildlife with Scott Craven as he walked out the door here. But we've heard about rabbits, red-tailed hawks. We've heard about robins, squirrels, bears, you name it. You know, this is an example of the interesting and informative conversations we have on The Larry Mueller Show.
So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and many more programs possible. You can choose a gift amount that works for you and then go ahead and make a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station. And 9XM members are an important part of that picture. Your 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or $1,200 a year makes WPR the sustainable resource it is today, tomorrow, and well into the future.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years. And what better way to honor the occasion than with a wonderful tradition? Ask for the latest WPR Artist Mug when you give $13 a month. This year's mug is inspired by one of the very first WPR programs, Let's Draw, which taught art in classrooms through the radio. The design is colorful and fun, with artwork by schoolchildren throughout Wisconsin from the 1950s. It represents our timeless commitment to education and the arts. From our earliest days to today, we're all about lifelong learning. Celebrate with us. Ask for your mug when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just to repeat that number, it's 888-202-2552, or just go online to WPR.org. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent, asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive, and maybe your gift's $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Right now, we're looking for 8 more pledges in the next 7 minutes to stay on track this half hour. We're watching it closely here on this leaderboard. Your support keeps WPR strong, and it helps pay for The Larry Mueller Show. So make your gift right now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
I like to think of some of our regular members. Scott Craven, for example, he's been doing this for 30 years monthly, and now every other month. He's probably been on close to 1,000 times.
That's some history.
that's a lot of history there. Sandy Sawchuk is another person who's been on helping us with our pets.
Yep.
The weather guy, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, come on every month. Our bird guy, Bill Volker, is a regular contributor.
The list goes on. Yeah, you have those regulars who really are able to get deep into your questions. They cover topics near and dear to your heart. They give you advice. They give you ideas. Because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, support this program with your dollars. It's easy. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
New members are an important part of this membership drive, or any membership drive for that matter. Every member makes a difference because listener support makes up the single biggest part of our budget. Your donation makes WPR programs possible. We have a couple of people who have pledged during this break, and one of them is a new one. How about you? There's still eight more to go to reach our goal.
Yeah, we can do
you
it
do
here.
Eight so new people?
We can make it here. Whether you tune in for one favorite program, like The Larry Mueller Show, or you find yourself checking in throughout the day, you're getting value from what you hear. And if you've never given before, start off with a pledge of, say, $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do, you'll feel great.
You can listen to WPR on the radio, whether you're in the car, if you're at home or at work, and you can listen online at WPR.org or with the WPR app.
Yep.
Anytime a radio is not handy, and I know a lot of people who do that.
Yep. Yeah, it's very handy. Wisconsin Public Radio, it is in your life, no matter what you're doing or where you are. So pledge now to support this access to great radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for eight more pledges in the next...
Seven now, Larry.
Oh, seven. Yeah. All right, good. Seven
you.
More. Seven more in the next, 3 minutes or 4 minutes or so. Give to WPR to support the station you love, your public radio.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Really only takes just a few minutes of your time. You tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, how you'd like to pay. You can do it online. You can do it with your credit card.
It's quick, it's easy, and your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are going to have to go away in just 30 seconds or so here, and so I want to make a last plea here. If you enjoy this Wednesday show, we always talk about wildlife and things in the outdoors. Scott Craven's been a wonderful guest, and there are many others. If you want to support that program, now would be a great time to do it. So do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contributions. Thank you.